Good words we've already heard of encouragement that will come if we'll just receive it this evening. In the book of James, in the fourth chapter, where we have our Bibles opened up to tonight, if you'd like to open up there and follow along with us for just a moment of time. We won't be before you long, and we're going to close with an altar of prayer for all these many needs that there are today, asking God to be with each and every one of them and help them as only He can. Only He can. We can do a lot of things to help one another, but we can't do anything compared to what God can do if we'll just put everything into His hands. Book of James, the fourth chapter. Go down to verses 13, 14, and 15. Book of James, fourth chapter, 13, 14, and 15. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time, and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And stop reading there with that 15th verse. Takes me back many years to my grandfather, and he would, my mom's dad, and he would always say, if it be the Lord's will. And as kids growing up, sometimes we would mimic him. And sometimes even make fun of why he would say things like that. But today we find that it is more true than ever before. Because if it be the Lord's will, we will do those things that we have planned for tomorrow and the days after. But if it be not God's will, our plans will be changed. When death comes, it cancels all of our plans for the future on this side of the river. When sickness comes, it changes our plans. When infirmities come along, it changes our plans. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, was encouraging them, I believe, or telling them that we ought to look at our lives and say, what is our life? What is our life? When you talk to people about who they are or what they are, they'll tell you about where they live or where they work or what they've accomplished in life. And we are more than those things, especially if you've been born again by the grace of God. I am more than what we may, the tangible things of this world. I am a born-again child of God, first of all and foremost. And because of that, I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. When I realize that, and we realize that our life is but a vapor, is what He said here. Just a vapor. It come forth, and then it fleeth, and it continueth not. Like a shadow, as Job said, or like a flower that blooms. These beautiful flowers that we see that people have planted, and some of them that are given to others, the beautiful flowers. In just a couple days, they wither down, and they're not fit. The beauty has gone away. And that's the way that our life is that we are just here for a few days. Job said it best. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of sorrow. Job wasn't bragging about what he could do or what he did or what he was going to do in the future. Job said, really, if you'll paraphrase it, that it all depends on God. Because even when his wife said, look at where you're at today. Do you think that the day before the boils come and the news come about his barns and his animals and his kids, that Job even thought that those things were going to happen? He had no foresight that tomorrow it was going to be bad news after bad news after bad news. He probably thought, like many of us, that I'll go before my children go. Those barns will decay before I'll need to build new ones. But you see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know even about our own life, much less somebody else's. We know that, as the old saying is that yesterday is gone. We can't go back to yesterday and change one thing. Tomorrow may never be. Some of us may get the call from the time we leave here till the time the sun comes up in the morning. All we have is today. In fact, more explicitly, all we have is this moment. None of us know about our life after the next breath we take in, whether we'll exhale it or whether it'll be the last one that we take in. You say, Roger, that's a depressing message. I think that James, and even going back to Proverbs in the 27th chapter, is teaching us that we ought to examine our lives and value the time that we have right now. Many years ago, I said in a message that one phone call can change your life for the rest of your life. And some of us, Brother Mark, we've had those phone calls. You think about how you had everything planned. And maybe I shouldn't say everything, but you had some things planned out for the future. And then that phone call come, and it changed everything instantly. It changes because we don't consider our life. Many of us think that we don't have to worry about death until we get 80 or 90 or 100 years old. Folks, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We ought to examine our lives now and say, what is our life? Here, James was saying, they was bragging about they was going to go to a city and stay there for a year and sell and buy goods and make a big profit. And they was going to add it all up and brag about what they have done. And I've said this for many years, and I stand on this with everything. Been the fabric of my life. You and I don't have anything to brag about except for what Jesus Christ has done for us in our life and allowed us to experience in our life. None of us would be where we're at if it wasn't for Christ coming by. Because you know what he did? He dropped us those handfuls of purpose. He blessed our little bit and helped it to grow. He gave us everything we have. And yet, a lot of people want to brag about what they've done. Can I put this in? And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I have a hard time staying around braggers. Because you see, I realize, and they ought to realize, it's not you and I, but it's God who has blessed us. The Bible teaches us that, and I'll use this in a different way tonight. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly now. We just see things that God allows us to see. We don't see the entire picture of our life. If you had to summarize your life and what it has been, I'd have to say God has been good to me my whole life. Even when I was lost, he allowed me to be blessed to have Christian parents from the time I was 2 years old to raise me in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that prayed for me. Because they knew my life was more important in the hands of God than it was in anything that this world could offer us. I used to think about our kids when they were little, about what they was going to be when they grow up, or would grow up. And you know, moms and dads would think about doctors and lawyers and things like that. But you know what I put at the forefront? I want my kids and grandkids to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, because that will make their life worth the living. It doesn't matter what their occupation may be. You know, we set too high standards. We set too high of expectations. What we ought to do is say, give it to God first, and then allow God to use us and to bless us in a way that we look at it. How many of you like me? I look at my life and say, I don't know why God blessed us in the way that he did. And I don't even know. Lloyd was picking on me before church. I don't even know how I made it from one position to another and from one job to another job, other than looking back and say, God must have had a plan. And I'm trying my best to live according to God's plan for my life, because God's plan for my life is more important than my plan for my life. In fact, you heard me preach here a few months ago, God changed the plan for my life. I had my goal, and God had other plans, right? And all I can do is say, I'm glad God changed my plans. Because I don't know where I'd be today had it not been for God. What is your life? From one moment to the next, we don't know what's going to happen. The Lord could come. And then we'd all break out in that song, Won't It Be Wonderful There? Having no burdens to bear. No more concerns about our loved ones and their frailties and their sicknesses and all that they're going through, the loss of their house and, you know, all these things that in this world, I believe it takes years off of our life. How many of you believe that worrying takes time off of your life? I ain't got much longer left. I ain't got much time left, because we get so concerned not just about our life. I'm more concerned about my kids and my grandkids' life than I am about my life, because I know what I've got. And I'm thankful that I grew up in the era of time that I did, that we had churches that was on fire, and we had people that enjoyed going to a church that was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm worried about the future of what our kids are going to have when they go to the house of God. It's become a social event. It's become a mockery of God and his word, and people examining their life. You know, you can do all kinds of things, but when it comes down to it, all that matters is what's done for the Lord. Everything else is going to be left behind, or go back to the dust, or go into somebody else's bank account. He said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not to thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. When we go back and we look at these, Ray and I talked about one of them before church tonight. Haman knew for sure on the next day that Mordecai was going to be hung on the gallows. He knew for sure. He had it all planned out. He was against the Jews. But instead of Mordecai hanging from the gallows, it was Haman. See, we don't know what a day may bring. The devil may have it in your mind that you've got it all figured out. Haman had it all figured out. But you see, God changed the plans. God can change your plans. And not just Haman, but Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel in the 4th chapter, who was a great king. Oh, one day he was sitting on the throne as king. And the next day, because he thought his life was so powerful that he was up there with God, the next day God said, let me show you who you really are. And God put him out there like a cow eating grass. You say, oh, that won't happen to me. If you put yourself above God, you better watch out. Or what he said about Belshazzar, Daniel the 5th chapter. Belshazzar sat there and thought he had everything made, had his kingdom, and even called for the cups and the vessels that they had taken from the children at Jerusalem to be brought in, that they was going to drink out of them, and he was going to have a big party. But here come the man of God saying, I'm going to interpret your dream. And he said, many, many tekel upharsin, which by interpretation is, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. He said, what does that mean? He said, your kingdom is about to come to an end. And the next day, he died. See, we think our life is just what we have here. How many of you believe like I do? I don't think we're really going to start living until we get to the other side. I can't do much running down here. But over there, I'm going to run and not grow weary. I've never soared. Well, somebody else was driving, but never soared too high. But over there, I'm going to soar as an eagle. But all those things sound good. But you know what? The most important thing is I get to bow at the throne of God and praise him for all eternity for the life he gave me here. You know, our kids today are faced with such pressure and stress about what they're going to do, what they're going to be. What are you going to do with your life? The world and the scholastic personnel and even moms and dads put so much pressure on them to try to be what they want them to be. And I can't be anything except for what I am. Neither can you. You ever tried to act like you were something that you wasn't? I've seen some people. I'll share this with you because this is a true testimony. I've seen some people that God bless them. They got a little bit of money in their pocket. And I heard this woman say about her daughter and son-in-law, said that they've just got a little too big for their britches. When the money's gone, they'll be right back down to earth. How many people you know that when they had money, they didn't have time nor resources for anybody else but themselves? But when the money was gone, here they come crawling back. Same old person. You know, the Bible teaches us about that, does it not? That the love of money is the root of all evil. And you say, Roger, those are good examples, but that's all about their life. Go over to the book of Luke and read about the rich man who said, look at all that I have. My crops have given out so much that my barns are full. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. And then I'm going to sit back and say to myself, rest and take it easy, if I can paraphrase it like that. And the scripture says that, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. You see, we think we got our life figured out. But really, our life, we have no control over our life. Whether we wake up in the morning or not. You say, but I set an alarm clock. One day that alarm clock's going to go off and you ain't going to hear it. Well, some of you don't even set them anymore. But you understand what I'm saying. Somebody else will hear it, but you won't be here to hear it. Your ears will be stopped. You won't be hearing anymore. And as the Lord laid it upon my heart about this message, I thought, our life and we look at it. If you would have asked Rob Cox a year ago if he thought that he'd be disabled, he'd say no. If you'd asked him a few months before his surgery, he'd say no. Terry, the same situation. Lloyd's brother. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. Becky's always telling me, she says, you got to stop doing A, B, and C because you're going to cripple yourself and then we're really going to be hurting. And I say to her, it'll be all right. You know what we think? That won't happen to me. But any of us could bend over to pick up a piece of paper off the floor and be crippled for the rest of our days on this earth. You say, Roger, that's depressing. It's not the last event that gets you. It's everything you've done up to that point. Lloyd's not having back problems because of what he did casting that rod and reel. He's having back problems because when he's at the shop working and all the abuse of his body through the years. Tonight, our life is more than what we think it is. And yet, we have no control over whether we wake up tomorrow or we don't wake up tomorrow. Whether we have good health tomorrow or not good health. I see all these people that's going to these gyms. I mean, their parking lots are full. All these people that are eating that organic stuff. You know what I say to them? Can I just tell you this real quickly? We ate out of a garden. But then there came a time that we got everything or just about everything from a grocery store. It wasn't organic, and I don't look like I'm starving. And we even drank out of a garden hose, and we're still here. So I see no reason for me to go organic now when I really don't even know if it's truly organic. And I don't even know what organic means. I mean, I know what the word means, but my interpretation of what's grown organically and theirs of reality may be far apart. So my life is valuable to me, but yet some folks are trying to preserve themselves like they're going to live for another 30, 40 years. Let me tell you, you can preserve it all you want, but when God calls, your life is over. You'll look good in the coffin, but that's about all you'll do. Because once you're gone, you're gone. Your life is over. You say, Roger, what are you trying to preach to us tonight? That we ought to live every day as if it's our last day. Because it could very well be. Every day, we need to make sure that people we love know that we love them. We need to make sure that we talk to God every day. You better talk to Him. Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible teaches us that we can add to our days or we can take away from them. I'm at a point right now, I'm trying to add to. Because some of us did enough when we was young, somebody say amen, that we took enough days off when we were younger, and now we're trying to add more back. You say, how do I do it? You better start pleasing God. Find in favor with God. Our life is more than what we think it is. Let me close with this final thought. Have you ever thought about those that you leave behind, what their life will be once you're gone? Have you ever thought about them? Becky's had a lot of sickness, and y'all know that. And she keeps telling me when I'm gone, and I say, girl, it's always a sick one that lives outlives the healthy one. And I've got many examples of that. She'll say, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. And I'll say, when you're gone, I'm a hermit. I'll be church, home, work, church, home, work. Not much going to change. But then I have to get to thinking, if she was to be gone, what would I do? What would those kids do? And those grandkids? Then I reverse it and say, well, my life, if my life was gone, what would she do? And you know, I've got life insurance to help her because contrary to what Lloyd was saying before church, I hope my life insurance will give her enough to live on for a little bit and pay off the house. I said, pay it off, Lloyd. Because he was trying to tell Ray that I had all this stuff stocked up and everything. I said, everything I got, I owe for. You know, your life is through the eyes of others is not your real life. Right? People look at you and say, man, they got it made. Put on the shoes for a few miles and see. Walk in them for a little bit. I don't think any of us has got it as easy as what some people think we do. Nor do they know where God brought us from. How many of us today did God pick us up out of the dust and shake it off and put us on our journey? He helped us put our life together because we could not have put our lives together the way that God has. Men, say amen. Women, say amen, because God gave you that helpmeet in your life. Because without them, I promise you, your life wouldn't be what it is today. Without that one that God put there, our life will soon be over. And I said I was going to close, but let me go back to one thing that's up on my heart. When he said it here about that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that or that. I think we ought to start saying, by the Lord's help, I will. If it be the Lord's will, I will. Because we don't know. But I know this, if you get news tomorrow that I'm dead, don't you believe it. I might be asleep, but I ain't dead. I died out in 1972, and I arose just like in the resemblance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he arose, everyone that believes upon him, when they died out to sin, we arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave as well. So I'm not dead, I'm just asleep. And when you get to heaven, you'll find out he made it. Because we will praise him together for all eternity. Tonight, as we pray, not just praying for our life, but how many of us look at our kids and grandkids and say, what kind of life are they going to have? What's it going to be like? You look at our country today in the shape that it is in, and you can believe this or not, but I believe with my whole heart. If we keep going as a nation the way we are today, we're not going to be a nation under God. We're going to be a nation under Allah. And you say, Roger, how can you say that? Because the Muslim decree is to go out and take over the world. The devil. In fact, you go back and search the roots. You see where it came from. And you'll find out our father Abraham should have never slept with that bondwoman. Because by him doing that, his life changed. His life changed. And every generation has changed because of Abraham's desire and Sarai's desire to have a child. If you'll have it today, they put us in bondage. Amen? Let's pray, because our lives and our people's lives are so valuable and so important to us. God bless you.
Dear Lord, again, I come before you. Thank you, God, for this day and for your blessings upon us. Thanking you, Lord, as we said in the message tonight, for the life that you have given to us. A life that, Lord, that we could never have constructed by ourselves. Lord, that we would never have thought. That, Lord, that we would be where we're at today. But God, we know it was by your plan and design.